This episode of the Word Bros Podcast is brought to you by Creative Contract Consulting. CreativeContractConsulting.com.
All right, go ahead and talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com.
Welcome to another edition of Word Bros. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Bob, and we are the Word Bros Podcast. This episode of the Word Bros Podcast, and recently all of our episodes of the Word Bros Podcast, are brought to you by the fine, fine people at Creative Contract Consulting. Kevin, tell them what the fine, fine people over there do at Creative Contract Consulting.
Gamal Hennessy is a lawyer, entertainment lawyer, and a business consultant who will tell you the finer points of the comic business. If you go to Creative Contracts Consulting, better known as C3.
Ooh, listen to you, Kevin.
You can hit up Gamal for all your comics business needs.
Yeah, baby. If you're trying to work it out, you're trying to figure your stuff out, hit Gamal up. He drafts, negotiates, and reviews comic book contracts and helps clients understand the business of comics. Where can you find him? Gamal offers free consultations for his potential clients. You can contact him to set up a meeting at creativecontractconsulting.com/C3contact. That's creativecontractconsulting.com.
If you do that, mention the Word Bros.
If you do that.
Sometimes I don't.
Everyone poops. And if not, you should probably take something to help that.
Or see a doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's on the show this week, Kevin?
Omar Morales.
Who is Omar Morales, Kevin?
He is the wonderful creator of the Lunar Ladies that will be on Scout in July.
This book looks good, dude. It looks good. And talk about a wonderful and creative guy. Let's talk to him right now. Omar Morales on Word Bros. I was just so excited that it was on Twitch that I forgot.
That we were just live. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were just, we were just BSing, bro. That's all Omar Morales.
All that awesome beard advice out the window, man.
But you can listen to that exclusively on Twitch.
Okay. Yes, you get exclusive Word Bros beard advice on Twitch. Like that, if that's not a reason to sign the fuck up, I don't know what is.
That needs to be a reward in your next campaign, dude. Word Bros branded beard oil, man. Hell yeah.
You know what?
I'm in.
It's not the worst idea we've ever had.
Hey, man.
No, we've had worse ideas than that.
People always ask me, like, hey, man, what's a reward you want on Kickstarter that you've never seen? I always say the same thing. Pepper Jack cheese, man. Offer that shit up as a reward. I am sold.
Does Pepper Jack cheese comes with your comic?
Refrigerated pack, cheese, comic, boom, done. But no one ever takes me up on it for some strange reason.
Well, that would be very hard to do. And that's part of the questions when you're mailing it. Like, is there any like food stuff in here? And then you'd have to say yes. And I don't know how that would work out. And how would you keep the cheese clean? And like, would you want melted cheese?
Yeah.
Well, would you want me to make my own
nice and cold,
my own brand of Pepper Jack cheese, or would you just want me to go to like the store and buy the Sorrento stuff?
Get the private label brand from your favorite grocer. That's what I'm looking for.
All right. I'm into that. Now, are you a big cheese guy or do you just like Pepper Jack?
It's a joke, man. Yeah, I love Pepper Jack cheese. I love anything spicy, right? I'm Mexican, so as a kid, I didn't really like salsa and spicy stuff. But as I got older, the genes just kicked in, man. And I was like, give me spicy anything and everything.
All right, that's cool.
Nice. Now, see, for Kickstarter rewards, you could just take a page out of our book, Omar, then, and you can drink hot sauce.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do that. I did ghost pepper hot sauce for Metal Shark Bro.
Like for hitting a certain tier or what?
No, I would just go on Facebook. We did it for a while on the first Metal Shark Bro. I did it on the second one, too, I think, where I bought the hottest hot sauce I could find at the grocery store, which was ghost pepper sauce.
Okay. All right.
And then it was pretty hot. and I would just pour like in a shot glass, and then I'd show the audience the shot glass, and I'd have the, and I'd show them that I poured it in there, and okay. I'm like, if we get to this, if we get to $250 more dollars or something, I will drink this okay. tonight, right now on this live stream.
So until then,
I'm gonna sit here and talk to you, then when we get to that price point, I'm gonna drink it. So like you and get your friends in here just get together and get up to 250.
Did you have a glass of milk nearby?
No, that's not what they want to see, man. They want to see
you. They want to see you suffer. Yeah. Okay. I love it, man. I love it.
Well, it's a way to like take your dignity completely, because it's bad enough that you're begging for money on the internet.
Now
they want you to drink hot sauce and like suffer through it.
Well, just for that, man, I was planning to pledge you guys day one, but now I might hold out to see
you're
doing the hot sauce, hot pepper thing. And then I'll load up with my pledge.
So Evan, you ruined Kevin everything.
I didn't buy any hot sauce for this one, so we'll see. Maybe I can. If we, maybe I'll make a pledge. If we hit the goal early, I'll do hot. Only if we hit the goal early will I do any.
All right. Well, now you're enticing me to get in there on day one. Yeah, so you've got me either way, man.
That's how we do, man. See, I mean, we're no dummies here. We know what we're doing, Omar. We've been doing
this
for
manipulate
a long time.
Me.
Yeah.
If you're a carnival barker standing out in front of your table at a con.
Hey, look, we're all indie comics, dudes. We're all selling our books. We're all making shit happen. Like,
of
we
course.
All. That we all have a little bit of a carnival barker inside of us.
No, everybody in indie comics is a carnival barker.
Yeah, we
have to
be.
You might be a quiet one, you might be a loud one, but you are a carnival barker. That's
true.
For sure.
It is 100% entirely true, my man. But we are live on Twitch right now. We got some people watching this on Twitch. Say hello to the people on Twitch, Kevin.
Hello to the people on Twitch.
Omar,
how are you guys doing?
Say hello to the people on Twitch.
Hello, Twitchies. How are you?
And if you want to, look, we've got a couple people in the room. Don Carnitas is here saying hello. Hello, Don Carnitas. Don's a good dude. Don's a good dude. If you have any questions for Omar as we're going through this, you can feel free to leave it in the chat here on Twitch. So it's going to be a good time today. I'm really excited. Omar, this is a long time coming, dude. I feel like I've seen your work and your name around a lot, but we've never actually had a chance to speak. So I'm glad to have you on. Welcome to the Word Bros podcast.
Likewise, man. It's a pleasure to be here among such luminaries as yourselves, man.
Luminaries? What are you talking about?
What I've always wondered about you guys is which one of you is Batman and which one is Robin? Because you guys
I would
are
be Batman. I'm always in black.
Okay.
And Bobby would look better in green Speedos.
Bob agree. That's what I would
I don't know. Think, like, are you saying, like, the sidekick and chief guy?
Yeah, neither one of us is our each other sidekick. So I would say we're more like
equal standing.
We're probably more like Power Man and Iron Fist or something like that.
I believe
Falcon and Bucky. There we go.
Falcon and Bucky. I believe our friend, do you know Pat Shand?
Yeah,
I know that.
I believe Pat kind of summed it up best when he said we're the Dre and Snoop of comics.
Oh, I love it, dude.
Kind of ridiculous. And I guess that would make Kevin Dre because he's shorter.
I'm shorter,
And I'm Snoop and I'm taller, I guess. But we're on equal footing here. Sometimes during the podcast, I tend to talk a little bit more because I'm more of a broadcast professional. I've done this for a really long time. And
cap to you, man.
Yeah, man, you should. But no, and then when it comes to writing comics together, it's all who cares? As long as the book is good.
Flows like water, right? Like Bruce Lee says.
It just flows, man. That's all we gotta do. But enough about us. No one cares. We're here talking about you.
Sure, I care.
Well, Omar, that's cool.
That's very sweet of you.
You know what, Omar? You can interview us on your podcast if you want.
You know what, dude? I'm like the worst at this. I have no blog, no podcast. I don't review other people's comics. Like, I just don't have time for it, man.
I don't know. Do you want to be known as a reviewer? Or do you want to be known as a creator? You know?
Yeah, I'm a creator. Yeah. I've got no time for the other stuff. There was this one guy on Instagram hitting me up repeatedly. He's like, review my comic. I'm like, dude, I've got no vehicle for reviewing your comic. That's not what I do, man. And he was all frustrated with me. I was like, guy, just go away, please.
That's so funny. Now, did you feel bad about telling the guy to go away? Because, that's a potential customer, bro.
Well, here's the thing, man. This guy repeatedly is like, saying stuff to me like, hey, use your reblog app on Instagram and reblog my Kickstarter. I go, dude, I don't even have that app. Like, why do you keep asking me for things that I'm not capable of doing? Like, if you want to pledge for me, just ask me and I'll go hit up your campaign. But it's just like the aggressive tone, right? So that's why I don't feel bad about eventually saying, please just leave me alone, you know, because It was too much was too much.
I hear you, bro. It gets to be a lot. Like, I'm sure you probably, Kevin, I know you get this. I get it as well, Omar. I'm sure you do too. Where you get a friend request from somebody that has like 13 or maybe 15 mutuals. And as soon as you hit
a nanosecond,
hey, what's up? Like my page. Hey, what's up? Back my Kickstarter. Hey, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like,
he knows I get it because I bitch about this. That's why I hate it.
Our buddy Jason Copa bitches about it. Like everybody does, but it's like, dude, come on, man. Like, you gotta finesse me a little bit. Right. You gotta massage me if you want me just to come jumping into your likes and all that shit. Come on, baby.
Right.
Get it together.
Yeah, some people are just so tone deaf, man. Like, and then sometimes I just delete those people immediately. As soon as that lightning quick like my page comes in, get rid of them.
I've done that before. I will admit I've done that before too. I will just say for the record, I have. It only pisses me off when there's like a whole bunch in there. Like there's like 26 or something like that. And I'm like, okay, I'll just go ahead and confirm all these. They have mutual friends. Right. And then you get like 5 in your inbox are like, oh, check out my book or like my page. And I'm like, the like my page thing used to jam my Facebook up. So like, really? So I took that off for a while. Cause I couldn't get to other features of Facebook or some things would be like, oh, you have too many pages you need like that you need to approve. And I was like, man, I'm not trying to do all this. There was at one point over 1,000. I was like,
Well, that's cause you big time, Kevin. That's why.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I just didn't have time to like everybody's page.
Big time.
The weird thing is
every once in a while I'll be like, okay, I will like that one page. But it won't take you to it. Like you click on it and then it gives you this like list of 1,000 that you still need to approve. Yeah. Right. And you can't find the one that you actually wanted to like. And so, I give up. Like I wave the white flag.
Oh, you're pushing your luck here, baby. I just gave you like one thing. I ain't trying to like all this stuff, but again, let's I'm enjoying the conversation. I'm having fun chatting with you, of course, but I don't want to lose the plot, as they say. You're here to promote your book. Yes.
I'm here to promote anything and everything that I can, man. So, Scout Comics, right? The Lunar Lady. So
yeah,
we're now Eskimo Bros of Scout Comics.
Yeah.
Metal Shark Bro. And yeah. Hell yeah. So listen, guys, I was talking off air with Bob before we started here, and you know, it's been a kind of a weird journey for this story and these characters for me. It started off in the Not Forgotten anthology. It was like a short 10-12 page story.
Really?
Yeah. Kevin,
that's cool.
That one too. Yeah. And the people love the art, right? Because it looks old and faded and like, you know, yellowed pages, like it's 100 years old from the golden age. And I said, okay, well, people seem to react to this. You know, people like the old school ray guns and laser rays and pew pew, Buck Rogers.
I love that. If I'm going to be honest with you, Omar, I love that style. I've always been a big fan of the Flash Gordon style sci-fi with the big laser guns with the rings at the top of it. Like it's straight out of the Jetsons, dude. That's my jam.
Straight up, man. Straight up. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do something with this little short story, blow it up into like, I think I did an 80 page graphic novel that had an 8 page bonus story at the end, kickstarted it, had found a home with a publisher that didn't really work out. And it was my choice. I decided to step away from that deal. And then Charlie, who you guys know, so awesome.
Charlie Stickney, baby.
Yeah. He's like the godfather, right? So when I was kickstarting Moon Girl, he wanted to cross promote with White Ash. And I was like, cool. So that's when he and I kind of connected.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that didn't work out with the other publisher, I sat on it for a while. And then I pitched it out to a couple places, didn't hear back. And then I thought it was done, right? And then on the same day, dude, no joke, the same day, both publishers came back and said, we want to take it. So then I had to do this, right? And I was reaching out to some folks and saying, hey, you know, how do you like working with Scout? You know, how do you like working with this other publisher? And Charlie got on direct message with me and started answering every single question I had, dude. He did not hold back. And he was like answering. He's like, look, I'll be honest. You might make more money somewhere else, but here's what we can do to support you. And we're super creator friendly here. We're down for you doing Kickstarters first and then coming to us to republish. You know, we want you focused on creating. We'll do a lot of the business stuff and the marketing stuff. And I was like, all right, I like Charlie. I trust him. I'm going to go with Scout. And so I can't wait to see what the numbers look like, man. The book issue number one drops in July.
Okay.
Nice.
Issue two, I think 2 months later, right? Because Scout likes to do it two months spread apart.
Yes.
So September and then November. So it's a 3-issue miniseries. We get the full story arc. 1, 2, 3, boom, done. And hopefully folks pre-order it at the local shop, Lunar Ladies. I think the FOC closed for issue one, but I'm going to throw the code out anyway.
Do it.
May 211-676, because it can't hurt, right? Because if enough people storm into their local shop with that code, they've got no choice but to make a second.
May 211-676.
They got no choice, baby. No choice.
They got no choice.
So, I mean, yeah. And if they take some time out and Google it, and just look at the, I mean, here, I can actually do this. Check this out, Kevin. Watch what I can do. Check this out.
Oh, yeah. Now you can put it. Well, I was going to say now, while he's doing that, Omar, was Charlie like, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse, but it's written in Elvish? Is that how that went?
it was written in Star Wars Arabrush, or however okay. you pronounce that font that they use in Star Wars world.
So I have a question. So
yes, sir.
When you first put this book out in Not Forgotten, it had mm-hmm. a different title.
Yes.
Why is that?
So great question, Kevster. Moon Girl was the original name of the public domain character from right. like the 1940s, EC Comics. And it's been done actually by a few places, right? Red 5 Comics did their version of Moon Girl, like I think in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Look at those pages.
It was like a super spy type of book with Red 5. They're beautiful. Thank you, sir.
I've seen them before, though, and
not those things. I mean,
Let me give a shout out to the art team here, right? Yeah. So this is Joel Kotehar on lines. We have the great Paula Goulart on colors, and she hand stained these pages, guys. This is not a filter she's using. She is hand staining every little imperfection, every brown spot, every yellow spot, every, you know.
Look at that. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's beautiful,
looks like,
right?
Looks like coffee was spilled on it, right?
So, yeah.
And she's hand staining all of this.
But here's my question. It's yes, weird sir. Because when you look at the cover, there's your cover image.
Yeah.
The cover art doesn't
it's crisp. And then,
it's crisp. And then you open it up and it's like you're looking at a comic from the 50s. Like,
this was my idea, guys. I wanted like, what's the translation of found footage? Like a found footage VHS movie?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's like a found comic that you found in your grandma's attic, right? So the unsuspecting customer sees this nice, crisp Rene DeLiz Legend of Wonder Woman artist cover art. Then they open it up and it's like, oh, dang, what is this? This is something out of like my grandma's attic or some dusty old bin in the back of an old bookstore.
Okay.
So I wanted people to kind of accidentally stumble into it, right? But listen, the pitch is very clear. It's ray guns and laser rays, pew, pew, Buck Rogers style. This book should feel like it's 100 years old. The only thing it doesn't have is like all the annoying ads that all the Golden Age books had, you mm-hmm. know, like order this, you know,
sea monkeys.
Sea monkeys.
You need some sea monkeys, man.
Or order that kit that's going to make you big and strong at the beach and you can beat up all the bullies. Right?
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, they had me sold on sea monkeys. I thought that those pets were going to like actually be like lounging around and like chilling and stuff. When I was like, oh, these things must be awesome. And then you get them. It's just some shrimp with like one eye and stuff. It's not cool.
Now, did you ever I know we're way off track here, but did you ever?
We'll come back around.
Did you ever think about like doing old school ads like that for the book to kind of give it that flavor, like a little bit of extra, that Alan Moore vibe?
I did, right? But as you guys know, every page costs X, right? And
yeah.
You want to pour every last cent into the art. And I wanted to do a bonus story with Nick Torres. You guys know Nick, right?
From
Facebook. He's an awesome guy. I wanted to do this 8-page bonus story. So any ideas about putting fake old school ads in there just kind of went by the wayside in favor of doing more story about one of the characters and her backstory, because it's like my favorite character in the book, but she's not one of the main characters. And so I really wanted to do her justice with that bonus story. But I do have this idea, guys, and I don't know if it has legs. Maybe you guys could be my test subjects here, but I want to do a documentary about finding old comics and ripping out all those ads and mailing away and just to see what happens, right? I don't expect to get sea monkeys back. I don't expect to get muscle kits back, but I want to see what happens, right? Like, I want to see if people would like return to sender or say, oh, sorry, we're not in that business anymore. Whatever. I'm just super curious to see what would happen, right? To mail away for stuff.
Because
those addresses still have to exist.
I have a similar yet different story.
Okay.
I don't know how these magazines ended up in my possession, but I was on my way to Radiohead in like
nudie magazines.
As a nudie mag. It was like in 2000.
They just arrived.
Me and my friends. I know they were like, but they were from like 1984. And this was in 2000. And I don't know how these magazines came into my possession, but we had a friend driving. Me and another friend were drunk in the back of my car. And I was like, dude, let's call these numbers, these phone sex numbers, to see if they still work.
Yeah.
And they did. And they like the lady called and she was like, "Hey, sugar." And I was like, "Hi, what's up?" And she's like, "No, nothing." I was like, "Hey, this is really weird because I found your number in the back of like a 1982 Playboy." And she's like, "Yeah, we've been doing this for like blah, blah number of years. And this is something that it's like a family business." I was like, it was the craziest shit that's ever happened to me. We on a whim, we're like, "Oh, cool. Well, we're not really interested in the other thing. We just found the old mags to see if it would work." And she's like, "No, it's no problem, sugar. Have a good day." And like hung up the phone and that was it. So, I mean, it's possible you could still get sea monkeys, right?
You said, "I'll talk to you as long as you want. It's $2.99 a minute." Suck up.
I'm sure. She's hustling you, man.
No, we got
back to your hustle.
Yeah, let's get back to your hustle, friend.
About the name. So, like, happened there?
Yes, we got
it's okay. You're easily distracted, so are we.
Okay, so then Red 5 Comics has their version of Moon Girl, and then Marvel more recently did Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
That's right.
And so Scout was like, "Hey, man, we don't want any confusion because there's lots of Moon Girl content out there, including your own version. So let's make it a Scout version and let's change the name." So I was amenable to it. I was like, "All right, cool." And they were like, "You go ahead and pick the name." And I saw the Lunar Ladies. That sounds very Golden Age-y. Amazon Women on the Moon kind of vibe. So we went with that, and they did a great job taking my old logo, incorporating a new logo that, you know, kind of still looks the same as the old one, and then just slugging in the Lunar Ladies. So
that's really cool.
Props to Joel Rodriguez, the Scout, the graphics guy. He did an awesome job adapting the logo. And you know what's interesting, man, is I've never done single issues before, ever. This is the first time I'm doing single issues. Normally I like to sell my book as a complete, you know, graphic novel. You get the whole thing in one shot. Because I'm so paranoid about like missing deadlines or having a second issue that doesn't drop on time.
Of course, of course.
And but because the book was already done and all we were doing was tweaking to meet Scout's style guide, right? There was no risk. So they were like, "Yeah, we want to do single issues with variant covers." I'm like, "Holy crap, this is a whole new world for me. I'm used to having one cover for a graphic novel, not multiple covers, let alone alternate covers and variant covers." They were like, "We want the Diamond B version. We want the Scout website version. We want the comic book shopping network version." Mind was just blown.
But the cool part about that, though, it's all kind of for you because it's just different revenue streams.
Yeah, right, different channels. So I get it.
Yeah, it's just, but it is kind of overwhelming when you're doing these things on your own, and then you kind of hit the quote unquote big time, and you're like, "Shit, man! Like, I gotta step up my game, playa." You know?
Well, yeah, I was totally unprepared for that, right? Because at first, they were like, "Yeah, we need all these alternate covers." I was like, "Crap! All right." So I gave them some black and white and some inks only, but we still needed one more. We were still like one short, so I got the bat phone and I called up Matt Harding. You guys know Matt Harding?
Of course.
You do. Matt's
I was
great.
Like, "Yo, Matt, bail me out, bro. I need I need an alternate cover." I said, "Do the villain, do her right, and go ahead. Just you come up with the concept, just do whatever you want." He's like, "Dude, done." Boom, banged it out. Did an awesome cover of the villain who's looking at the clones, like inside the tanks, you know, they're growing inside the tanks. It looks like sci-fi and kind of creepy. And that's then cool. Now the villain gets her own cover, which is awesome. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right, dude. I had to step up the game pretty quickly. Another thing too, they wanted where they were like, "Hey, do you want to do some like extra pages here and add some more to the story?" And I was like, I had to turn that down. Right. I was like, "Dude, I just don't want to risk being late on this."
Yeah.
And it turns out I probably had the time because the book got delayed like a couple months anyway. Mm-hmm. So here we are, dude. You know, you learn and you grow. The first time, second, maybe third time working with a publisher, but nobody as sophisticated as Scout, put it that way.
They're
a legit operation. They're not a fly by night, you know, back at the laundromat type of publisher. They're for reals. They're for reals.
They're not selling mixtapes out in the trunk.
Have you worked with publishers that set up in the back of the laundromat? Because that sounds mysterious and kind of creepy.
And sort of cool. Like you could find, like it'd be kind of weird. You know, you could find a weird book there, like an Amazing Stories thing.
This kind of ties back to the Golden Age, right? And why there's so many public domain heroes. Literally, back in those 1940s and 30s days, there were so many publishers, fly-by-night publishers, rushing to put content out because, you know, comics were booming and exploding. There was literally comics publishers in the back of laundromats and in the back of nail salons that folded, and the characters they created all fell into the public domain because no one was doing the, you know, trademark and copyright upkeep. And yeah. So you're literally flooded with hundreds of these heroes that were created and never really went anywhere. So it all comes full circle, Bob.
So what you're saying is nothing's changed. Essentially, just comics are exactly the same as they were in the 40s.
Yeah, except now it's easier, right? It's so much more accessible to guys like us, you know, who are grinding out, you know, day jobs and families and stuff, and then doing the comics at night and on weekends, which I love, man. I never feel tired or out of energy when I'm working on my comics, and I'm sure you guys probably feel the same way, right?
It's like, it's true, man.
Time flies by, and it doesn't feel like you're working hard at all.
Hardly working, man, I believe is the expression, right? hardly working. Same old thing. So the book comes out in June, which I guess is July, this month. July. It comes out in July, so that's next month. Okay.
Next month.
So you can run to your shop. You can pick this thing up. It's going to be great. I mean, dude, the artwork is really fantastic. Like, it looks really great. Like, you've got a real hot golden age style there that I personally really dig. That's really cool, man.
Oh, thanks, man. And James Reed, who did the letters, he did a great job using the old school thought balloons, right? Instead of a caption for inner dialogue. He literally uses pew-pew, you know, here and there.
Now, is that all by design? Was that your idea when you're writing the book? Did you want thought?
Yeah. But he executed on it, right? Like, I remember at one point I told him, I said, can we make them, like, bunchier? Like, they got to look bunchier. The thought bubbles, right? Because they were kind of, they looked more ovalish and like the bubbles were kind of really spread out. Mm-hmm. I was like, just squish it in. So the bubbles are really kind of fat and kind of compacted and stuff. And so he was kind of like, oh, okay. And then he got it done. So it's all good.
That's awesome. Well, it sounds go ahead, Kev. I'm sorry.
You're good. Go ahead, man.
No, I was just going to say, it sounds like you got a great team. Like, how did you assemble such a killer's lineup of creators for this?
Yeah, so Joel, the line artist, I had worked with a few times before on other stuff, most notably Crusader, which was the first graphic novel I put out on my own. And then James, I had worked with before also, even like small projects or anthologies, I try to give these guys work. But Paula was a real find, man. Like, I saw something she had posted on Facebook that had that kind of stained golden age style. And I looked at the pinks and the purples and the fuchsias and the light orange and the burnt orange. I was like, holy crap, this is exactly what I need for this Moon Girl project. So I reached out to her, and she is the most professional, just the sweetest, like, great communicator, like, just so professional, man. You know how some people, you kind of have to nag them a little bit, like, hey, where are you at with this? Like, we're gonna hit the deadline. You need a little bit more time. Like, how are we looking? You know, can I see the thumbnails? Like, you know, that kind of thing. She is like on top of it. Boom, boom,
that's
boom.
Awesome.
Update, where you don't have to ask nothing. You know, 100% of the time where she's at with the project. She's great at managing expectations. At one point she said, I want to hire a flatter to help this move faster. And the flatter would not meet her standards for excellence. And she's like, forget it. I'm going to do it myself.
Wow. Like, wow.
She's like, you know, just so amazing. So professional. And so,
that's awesome.
Yeah. She also did the colors on my Mandalorian fan fiction. I did this like 12-page full color Mando fan fiction that I've got up on my website, theforcemedia.com. Everybody asked the question, if you could write anything, what would you do? Right. And for me, it's Star Wars. Right. So I was like, screw it. I'm just going to do it. Right. As long as I'm not selling it. And I very clearly market, this is the property of Disney and Lucasfilm LTD, because there's so many fan movies out there and Disney's not stopping anybody. Right. YouTube is flooded with Star Wars fan movies. So I was like, they're probably not going to come after me. So I just did it. And I hired her to do the colors, and she did a fantastic job again, as always. And that's how that crew has kind of come together. I don't always work with all three of them at the same time, but you know, I love it, man. These people like become like your friends and your fam, right?
So yeah, no, it's true.
It's very true.
Yeah, I think there's only like a couple bad apples I've run across in the last 10 or 12 years. One of them actually ended up passing away, and he still owed me like $700. I was like, well, that's money I'm not going to get back. So I think I'll give up that fight.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, since I've already seen the basis of what you're doing with Lunar Ladies in The Not Forgotten, and for people that have The Not Forgotten, this is going to expand on that, because you did a hardcover after that, which was great. So what is the plot of Lunar Ladies?
So the conceit is going along with the ancient alien or ancient astronaut theory, right? That there's been sophisticated civilizations that have been around for millions of years and have visited Earth, you know, for millions of years. So I said, all right, I'm going to put the Lunar Ladies living underneath the surface of the moon a million years ago in outer space. And they're a utopia of nothing but women. They're super high tech, you know, they've got flying cars and high speed bullet trains and all this stuff. And the main conceit is there's an evil mad scientist, right? And she wants to introduce men into the society, which all the women are opposed to. And she goes and does it anyway. She goes rogue, genetically creates a Y chromosome and starts growing these clone boys, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of them. And so she has beef with the queen of the moon, and page 3 or 4, right away, we get into the fight, right? Laser guns, pew, 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 going back and forth between the queen and the villain, the mad scientist. And so what the queen does is she takes her daughter, Moon Girl, Claire, and her lover, who's her, like her wife, Star, and they flee to planet Earth, which at that point is prehistoric, right? So you've got mastodons, you've got saber-toothed tigers, you've got, you know, giant armadillos and giant sloths kind of roaming the Earth. And she stashes them there, and she comes back to the moon. And because she leaves her magical moonstone necklace, which is like this thing that makes you invincible and super powerful, right? That was like the golden age style kind of conceit for how to make this character strong. She gives up the necklace to her daughter. So now she's vulnerable. So she goes back to the moon, and Venus, the villain, captures her, puts her in jail. And it's like, oh no, she's going to go to Earth, and she's going to go steal the necklace. She's going to kidnap the daughter, and it's just going to be all bad. But somehow the queen gets out of it, escapes from jail, goes to Earth, and I'll leave it there. Right. That's where the big bang happens, and the big conflict of the two armies. And it's pretty ingenious how the queen and her daughter and her wife assemble the forces of Earth to help them fight against this army of clones. And it's a lot of fun. It's got some slapstick in there. You know, I've got some visual gags that I use, very golden age style. And really, guys, I wanted something that my kids could read, right? I wanted something that a 10-year-old could pick up and read, because my first book, Crusader, was rated R, very adult. And like, my kids to this day still can't read that book. I won't let them, right? So I wanted something that was going to broaden my audience from your hardcore every Wednesday, you know, comic book fan who's in the shop, to your casual readers, your kids, men, women, young, old. And who knows, maybe I picked up some geriatrics along the way that remember Moon Girl from 100 years ago, right? So I wanted to cast the broadest net as possible. And it's been fun, man. I never expected, having pitched to Not Forgotten all those years ago, that I'd still be working on this thing these years later, you know?
Dude, that's awesome. And I mean, you're checking all the boxes here, man. Like, I'm in. Like, this sounds like something I would fucking love, dude. Like,
he loves all of this stuff. Now, not that I don't, but if you're gonna pick the person who likes pulp out of the two of us, it's more a Bob than a Kevin thing.
I mean, you got Hollow Earth, Secret Moon Societies.
Yep. He loves, like, all that stuff.
All that, dude. That's my shit right there. You're talking my language. I love all that.
I'll tell you one thing, man. I'm such a nerd for that show, Ancient Aliens, on History Channel, that I peppered this book with Easter eggs from that show, like these ancient artifacts that they say are proof, you know, like the guy with the crazy hair, Giorgio Tsoukalos, who says, "I'm not saying it was aliens, but it was aliens." That guy,
the meme guy,
right? Yeah. They've got all these artifacts that they're constantly, you know, showcasing on the show as, "Hey, this is proof that that's an ancient civilization of sophisticated astronauts came here and left this as proof." So I put some of those things into the story throughout, right?
That's awesome.
And so an Ancient Aliens fan is going to freak out when they see some of these things that I put in there as Easter eggs in the background. And that was just me fulfilling my wishes for this book. Despite writing for my kids and trying to do something fun and accessible, I was like, all right, I'm going to nerd out and put some ancient alien trophies in there in the background and see who notices.
That's really cool. That's awesome. I really dig that. This thing sounds really fantastic. I'm glad it's going to be out. It hits comic shops in
July.
You can go pick that up. November. Hey, tell us that hot order code again, my friend. I would love to hear May. That.
May 211-676. Commit it to memory. Ask for it at your local shop.
Commit it to memory. Now, let me ask you this, because I know this is the next question everybody always asks in comics. Mm-hmm. So what you working on next?
Aha. I've been waiting for this. I did a consultation with the great Joe Illich, and he said, "Listen, man, what's the one story that you've got burning inside you that if you only did one more comic for the rest of your life, this is the one you would want to do. And I said, it's got to be Major Tomas. It's a story that's been rattling around in the back of my head. And during COVID, I locked down and I wrote it, right? I banged out, it's 100 plus pages, 104 pages. Sci-fi, it's probably PG-13 genre, young adult, 13 to 30-ish kind of age bracket. It's about a young Latino immigrant who dreams of becoming an astronaut. And despite being impoverished and against all the odds, he becomes an astronaut. But as soon as he does, on his first mission, he gets lost in space, right?
Nice.
So Major Tomas is a riff kind of on Major Tom, right? Major Tom, famous song, yeah, about the space voyager who gets lost. And but I wanted to do like a Latino flavor on it, right? So I hired a whole Latino team to put it together, right? So I've got the great Serge Acuna, who's doing line art.
He's wonderful.
Nice, yeah.
Oh, dude, he's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been talking to him for about a year. We got the contract done, so we're locked and loaded. He's actually doing thumbnails as we speak this week that I'm on vacation from work. I wanted to dedicate some time to talk to him. So he and I had an in-depth Zoom yesterday for a couple hours, and we went through everything, references and story, characters, motivation. So he's in tune, man. And then Raul Angulo is going to do the colors. He's also out of Costa Rica. He's phenomenal. He's done work with Vault and some others. He's done work on Power Rangers and Buffy. So he's excellent.
That's awesome.
And then Taylor Esposito, the great Argentinian who lives in New Jersey, is going to do the lettering. And I'm super proud of it because we're going to be representing ourselves, right, in the market, right? I love when I see books from like African-American teams where the whole creative team is African-American or Asian or whatever, because you know it's coming through authentic, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I really wanted. I wanted some authentic flavor in there. And I can't wait to put this book out, right? But it's 100 pages, right? So I'm going to be grinding on this thing for probably a year, maybe more, who knows?
Yeah.
And I've already got like 7 revisions of the script, right? But I'm really happy where it's at now, from where that's it awesome. Was to where it is now. So that's what I'm working on. I'm going to be pitching it. And if it comes right down to it, I know how to do my own Kickstarter, and I know how to go try to find a secondary publisher that's okay with it being Kickstarted first. So we'll see, man. I'm super excited about it. I've got a couple bites on it already. Nothing to get too excited about, but I think it's promising. It's going to be my best work yet. So if I end up, passing away in the next couple of years, you guys will know.
Jesus, what are you
happy.
Talking about?
I put this out into the world.
You're like my mother, who's like, if I'll go when I go, if I'll go, I'll be happy. Like, no, you got to, no, that's crazy. What are you talking? You're a young man. What the hell's wrong with you?
It's just funny. Were you raised Catholic too, Omar?
Because big time.
I can tell right when he said that, because my aunt, she was like the most about Catholic, and I'm raised Catholic in a Catholic. I don't practice Catholicism though, but I remember my aunt always going, "Oh, if I were to die tomorrow, then just make sure that this happens and that happens, but this will be the keepsake I leave for all of you, my brother's children," and it'd just be like, why are you gonna die tomorrow? What's so doom and gloom? Like, she said that when I was like 10. Yeah. I don't think I attended her funeral till I was like 19. You had like another 10 years, lady. You had to live it up. Every year at Thanksgiving, you were dying.
I tell you what, man, my mom, dude, when she calls, it's a litany and a rundown of who's sick in the family. Like, your aunt's got, bursitis, and your cousin's got arthritis, and this cousin over here's got diabetes, and then remember our neighbor from 10 years ago? Well, she's got cancer. I mean, it is like a rundown of like who's going next. Like, she's lining up all the funerals, right? It's you're right, Kevin. It's a very kind of Catholic mindset.
It is.
That's awesome. So Lunar Ladies is sci-fi. The thing you're working on now is sci-fi. Would you say that's your wheelhouse? Like, genre? Like, that's what you want to do?
Hell to the yeah.
All right.
That's my jam. Like, I see a lot of guys out there saying, I've got a Western pitch, or, I've got a crime noir pitch. I don't have any of those pitches, dude. All I do is sci-fi and, like, supernatural, I guess you could call it. The first book, Crusader, was a mix of sci-fi and supernatural, angels and demons and the battle of good versus evil and all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, you nailed it, dude. I love the question, what does it mean to be human, right? That is the quintessential question of sci-fi, right? Think about a guy like Darth Vader. what does it mean for him to be human? He's got robot arms and robot legs, or, you know, Tom Cruise's character in Oblivion, right? Mm-hmm. He's a clone. He doesn't even know he's a clone. And then he finds out, what does that do to you? Like, what does it mean to be human, right? Or AI, and where that's going. It's fascinating. I love it. These are the things that keep me up at night when I'm laying down in bed and I can't sleep. I ponder, you know, what does it mean to be human? And then I go off and write stories about
that's
it.
That's cool. So.
That's amazing.
Well, it sounds like it's working out for you, man. This book through Scout Comics, Lunar Ladies, will be out in July. Omar Morales, man, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, man. This is old home week. You know, a lot of times I don't know the guys at the under end of the camera, but I felt right at home here. Like I was like sitting on the couch with you guys.
That's great. That's what we hope to accomplish on Word Bros. And let the audience know where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, man. One-stop shop is my website, theforcemedia.com. It's got all the buttons to all my social media. If you want to hit me up on Pinterest, you can do it there. If you want to hit me up on LinkedIn, you can.
You got some hot recipes. You got some hot recipes up on Pin. You got some life hacks. Make my life easy.
I'm pinning up a lot of Metroid art, bro. That's my jam on Pinterest. All right.
That's awesome.
But yeah, my main handle is at the Crusader. That's what it is on Twitter. That's what it is on Instagram. So yeah, man, just hit me up. Download my free Mando comic, share it around, and go into that shop, May 2/11, 676, and ask for the Lunar Ladies number one variant cover, if you will, by Matt Harding, or Rene DeLiz standard A cover.
There you go.
There it is.
That's a, you know what it's,
man, he's a pro. That guy's a pro.
Kevin, you just beat me to it. I was gonna say, man, it's nice to deal with some professionals out there, man. That's wonderful. Some just pros. He's just doing pro shit. That's all you can do, baby. Well, Omar, man, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you to everyone who watched us on Twitch.
This is our first Twitch stream.
This is our Twitch. Oh, so you're our first Twitch stream. And if you're listening to the audio version of this and you want to watch us on Twitch, you can go to twitchtv.com/thewordbros. That's our Twitch stream. That's where we do this stuff. Omar, thank you very much, man.
Thank you guys.
No problem. And thank you everybody for watching. And we'll be back.
Pew, pew.
All right. I think that's...
It's still recording right now.
Yeah, I know, but the stream has... Okay. I'm just making sure the stream on Twitch stopped.
It did, because it stopped on my on your notification on the left.
It's up top.
Right by the recording. Yep, right. It's gone. So you're good.
Wow, we did a Twitch stream. That was cool.
That was awesome, Omar.
Sweet.
Great job.
You did a really good job, man. That was fun.
That was easy. It was easy. We like interviewing guys.
Just riffing off of you guys, man.
Well, hang on. I want to make sure we're still not on Twitch, because the Twitch is being weird about it. So hang on. Because the clock is still running and I still see something. So hang on. Let me see.
It would be funny if it was, because it's like...
Well, we're not saying anything of importance.
No, but Word Bros outtakes on Twitch.
Yeah.
Yes. Extra content, man.
That's what we're going for here.
Yeah.
That's for your OnlyFans, dude.
We got to get some. That's next.
Bob's OnlyFans is just him wearing a neckerchief, and you don't want any of that.
Oh.
It's hot.
Oh.
You say that now.
Bob.
It's hot.
I'm still kind of digging that.
Okay, yeah, it's over. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. That's awesome. Hey, we did it.
Thank you for being our first.
Yeah, man, thanks for being our first. Yeah.
I'm honored, man. And you guys can count on me on day one for the Dust Pirates.
Same. I'm going to buy it again. I'm going to buy Lunar Ladies again, even though I got the hardcover and everything. And I'm sure like you didn't change too much for Scout, but you got to go ahead and support the creators that are doing things you love.
Of course.
My man. And, thank you. Appreciate you.
And I remember back in your hardcover, and I was like really impressed that you had. Well, see, here's the thing that we always talk about on Word Bros. Kevin is a sucker for a hardcover. If you want me to back your book on day one, and you got a hardcover, and I go, you know, I might have already read the first part of this and not forgotten it was good, and I guess I need more. And then it said hardcover, and I'm like, shit, I'm in. You got me. You got me, dog. You got me.
I always plan on doing the hardcover anyway, but then I kind of slide it in as like, oh, new stretch goal, you know. But for real, I'm always secretly plotting to do a hardcover from the get-go.
No way, never.
One day we'll do a hardcover. Bob won't let me do a hardcover.
Come on, Bob.
It's too expensive, man. It doesn't make any sense.
He won't let me do it.
Get hard, bro. Come on.
It doesn't make any sense. It's expensive to ship. It's expensive to print. Nah, man.
Then you don't have to worry about damage, right? Because it's hardcover, right?
If it does get damaged, then that's twice that costs a lot more.
I guess. I mean, that's only happened to me once.
There, see? Look at that. I'm trying to talk him into doing 2-volume with Ninja Nuns included, Metal Shark Bro hardcover.
Dude, so. I'm sold. I want that one. I want that
with a new cover, but that's how we've been remarketing that for years now. Let's get a new cover
and a side of Pepper Jack cheese, dude.
Yeah, buddy.
Pepper Jack, let's get it
just for you. The whole cover will just look like Pepper Jack cheese.
You know what? The cover will just be cheese.
We won't do a hard cover. We'll do a cheese cover.
Yeah.
Do an ad on the inside for
Pepper Jack cheese.
Morales.
And then put like a hotline number, but it's really linking to that lady that you were talking to.
Yeah.
Hey, sugar.
I got your Pepper Jack.
Yeah, baby. We're going to get it to you.
So, yeah, man, but that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on, dude. I really appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate you guys.
Of course, man. It was a lot of fun. We had a blast. And good luck, dude. Good luck. And hopefully that other book, the Tom book, sounds cool, too. Yeah, man.
Yeah, they both sound good, man. So, I know he's going to buy. I know he's going to buy Lunar Ladies now.
I want to check out your Mando.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, I'm going to hit you guys both with a link to that one.
All right. Sounds
nice, man.
See you guys.
Later.
Thanks, Omar.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It worked.
And it worked on Twitch. There we were.
That's cool. I don't know why I'm so excited about that. I just am.
Well, because now we could just do this, what we always do, and hopefully build up Twitch people watching us be silly.
Yeah.
There's going to be someone out there that's got nothing better to do on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. And then the longer we do it and the more we stream on Twitch, people will get used to seeing it. And
maybe we can monetize it. No, that's not.
Yeah.
There'll only be 30 people ever.
Whatever. I mean, Jamie got 50 people to watch him draw fucking comics from the 20s. I don't see why we can't, you know.
We're not drawing anything at all. That's the problem.
We're just talking. Well, I mean, maybe people will find the people we're talking to interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, let's do this here. Let's see. It's still recording. Let me stop. Omar Morales, his book Lunar Ladies comes out in July from Scout Comics. What a cool guy. What a fun dude. And Kevin, I had no idea he was in the Not Forgotten anthology with you, man.
Yeah, that was a long time ago now. So it's very strange to hear mentioned because I think we had just started working together when I did that book. And that's a long time ago then. Yeah. So like we've been working together for a long time now.
So. That's awesome. So yeah, man. So that was, Omar did a great job. Very cool dude. It was a lot of fun talking to him. I really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week with more excellent Word Bros content. Kevin, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, friend.
It's always great to talk to you.
And I like how we pretend like we don't talk to each other like 3 or 4 times a day when we're doing
every day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always like, oh, Kevin, it's always a pleasure. It's like, dude, I talked to you fucking 45 minutes ago.
Yeah. And now we talk to each other on Twitch too. We talk to each other all over the place, Bob. Right. It's kind of nuts.
Our podcast is just a web of lies.
We're sorry for all the deceit we've sold you all over these years. We haven't sold anything though, so like
that's true.
But if you want to buy something, you can go to thewordbros.com and pick up a book,
or just wait for the Kickstarter because we're going to be selling all that shit on Kickstarter too. So.
Yeah, you're going to have to hear about this Kickstarter for like the next month and a half. So just be ready. Go follow along. Search up Kickstarter, The Dust Pirates, and please follow us on Kickstarter.
Yep, I'll put a little link in the description of the episode, so you can just click on that and you can get updates when the Dust Pirate Kickstarter launches. So we will be back next week. Thank you guys so much for listening, and have a safe and happy week.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com. Thank you.